getting hooked up like it reminds me of when the boy lets me know a little bit how the horse felt. Get the old horse out and put the collar on him, swing a harness up over him and buckled. He knew what was coming. Sort of the way you feel when you get hooked up with these things. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. It has been such a blessing. Amen. God's word being preached, and it has. It's been declared today, and it's really blessed my heart. We want to thank the church for the very comfortable place to stay last night. We used to drive down of a morning, but it's getting to be too much of a chore anymore, and we appreciate the really nice room. We appreciate the invitation to come again this year. It's always good to be at Providence. Always good to be with Brother Kenneth. And the food was excellent this morning. The biscuits and the gravy. Sausage was spiced just right. I even threw a couple of pieces of bacon on it, and I started to go back for more, and I thought, I may have better not. Better not. Brother Kenneth did want me to announce that the dinner was going to be about an hour late. To have it ready, and they asked me to fill the time. Now, honey, sit back down. I'm just kidding. My wife, she'd probably better get up and leave. Galatians chapter 5. My dad told me one time, he not only told me, he practiced it. And I basically tried to keep in line with his example and with his admonition. And he told me when the Lord called me to preach, he said, "Son, tell them what your text is. Preach it. Sit down and shut up." And, you know, and that's what we tried to do. We just tried to get up and give our text. Not real good at introductions. But we appreciate all the singing this morning. The spatial singing, congregational singing. It's all been good. It's been wonderful being in the Lord's house today. Galatians chapter 5, we're just going to read verse 1. If I sound too loud, I don't know where it's a mic. I see me like I'm sounding too loud, but overlook it if you would. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We're just going to read this first verse. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's pray. Holy Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you so much for all your blessings upon us, for your goodness, kindness, love, tender mercy. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful messages we've heard this morning and the messengers who brought them, for the singing of the songs of Zion. Father, we're just thankful that we do have a voice to praise Thee this morning. We're thankful, Father, that You have given us the time and the place and the ability to praise You, to be able to meet together here and to worship together around the precious Word. It's getting harder and harder to find folks with whom we can fellowship in the Word of God. We just thank you so much for it. We do pray, Father, that you'd be with us today, that Christ would always continue to be honored, that the assembly would be blessed, those who are saved would be blessed in thy Word. And Father, help us as a people. Brother Golly's message touched us. Help us as a people, that we might just be able to rejoice in Thee. We know that the cry once was, revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. It seems like, Father, we have lost the talent to rejoice. We've lost the talent to pray. We've lost those graces, Father, to have a burden that he spoke of. Makes a second time this week that I've heard that brought up in messages, Father, and surely it's true. We just ask that you'd help us. Bless this church. Bless this pastor. I pray, Father, that you would be near to Brother Kenneth. I pray that you would continue to watch over him, bless him. I ask, Father, that you give him a complete recovery from the problems he's having. You're a great physician. Your will be done, Father. And I know that's what Brother Kenneth would want. Your will be done. Guide us now, forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings before you. Be near to any this morning who may be lost and without Christ that are present here this morning. We pray that you might, in your infinite mercy and grace, be pleased to save them. We know that salvation is still of the Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Liberty. We want to talk about just a little bit, and we'll try to be as brief as we can. I don't want anybody to be confused when we get done. We're going to compare the liberty that we have in Christ, and there are some comparisons with the liberty that we have in America today. This liberty, it's taken from a Greek word that just, and I'm not, don't ask me to say what the Greek word is. I'm not real good at that. But it actually just comes down, means freedom. I just sum it up there. Liberty means freedom. That's what it means. I think there's about 18 times liberty is used in the New Testament scripture, and there's five different Greek words that are used to be translated from. But it means actually freedom. Wherewith Christ hath made us free. I want you to understand that the liberty that we have is the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. He has done this great work. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If you serve sin, then sin is your master. It's just that plain and simple. Does God's people sin? Yes, God's people do sin, but we do not sin continually. We do not sin constantly. It is not in our heart and in our mind to sin, but we are going to sin. There's no doubt about that. We're going to sin, but we don't sin continually or habitually, if you would put it that way. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. They are in bondage to sin. Sin is their master. The Bible speaks in Isaiah 61 verse 1 of he who is able to deliver us from that bondage. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I'm not even going to get into that, but he has sent me to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for me. He has proclaimed liberty unto me who was a captive to sin and in bondage to sin, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You come on down to John 8 and verse 36. You know, he said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. John 8, 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, then ye shall be free indeed. The Lord Jesus Christ has made us free. He has set us free from the bondage of sin. We're no longer the captives of sin and Satan. Freedom to do what? Freedom to do what? We may mention that just again in just a little bit. We have been set free from the bondage of sin, and we have been set free, if you would, from the bondage of the law of works. And if you would just take this and think about it a little bit, I'm not going to turn to any scripture right here at this present time, but actually it's the law of works. It's the law of works that actually makes us sinners. Because we cannot keep the law. We cannot keep the law. And it even makes us, sitting more sinful because of the law. But we have been set free from the bondage of sin, and we have been set free from the law of works. In Romans chapter 3, verse 27, just one verse here, he says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Jesus Christ, the Lord, hath made us free. He hath made us free. So we are free. It is the freedom to do what? The freedom to do what is right. The freedom to do what is right. Well, don't misunderstand me, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. It is a freedom to do what is right. Then if it is a freedom to do what is right, then there is a law of liberty. Liberty has a law. It does. Liberty has a law. It is called the perfect law of liberty. Let's turn over and read this. I don't want to take a lot of time, but I want you to understand what I'm saying here this morning. In James chapter 1 and verse 22. James 1:22. He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Doers of the word. What word is this? Well, it's the Word of God. That's the only thing it can be. Be ye doers of the Word of God. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein. I want you to understand here, this is not teaching that we continue therein in order to be saved, but we continue it therein because we are saved, because we've been saved by the grace of God, but we've got a law in liberty that we walk in. He said, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the law, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We walk in that perfect law of liberty. And when we walk in that perfect law of liberty, then we are doing what is right. Okay, what anybody else says? When we walk in that law of liberty, we are doing what is right. The Word of God will never, ever lead you wrong. Never. Never will it take you in the wrong direction. You walk therein, and you'll be doing exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. Exactly. So we have a law of liberty. The Lord said in Leviticus 18 and verse 4, He said, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. You walk in my word because I am the Lord your God. I don't have to worry about what some other God says. All I've got to be concerned about is what my God says. He's my God. He's the Lord my God. Our liberty now that we have, look over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Our liberty is not to be misused. It is not. In verse 13 of Galatians 5, He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad I'm free because Christ has made me free. We've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do you know what too many people are doing today? They're using their liberty, so-called, as an occasion to the flesh. What is an occasion to the flesh? Well, it just simply means to serve the flesh, or the lust of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh. When we do the Word of God to be saved, then we're in bondage to it. We're the law to be saved, then we're in bondage to it. We've been taken out of that bondage. We've been released from that bondage, so we no longer serve the flesh. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's people that actually tells us in Galatians chapter 2, I believe verse 4, that they sent down people to spy out our liberty. Do you know people spying out our liberty today? They're spying out our liberty today. And go ahead and say, let's go ahead and read that. He said that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may do what? That they may bring us into bondage. A lot of the things going on in America today is in order to try to bring us into bondage. Now listen, what they're trying to do is impress their righteousness upon us in order to bring us back into bondage again. And we can't do that. We can't do that. I didn't want to get into too much of anything about the Supreme Court, but I'm going to spout off just a little bit. You know, the Supreme Court has, they're no longer a judicial branch that looks at the Constitution and decides whether something is constitutional or not. They become a legislative branch. Abortion wasn't a decision that was derived from the Constitution. Obama's law, certainly, Obama's care, health, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't derived from the Constitution. And certainly this thing with the same-sex marriage, it wasn't derived from the Constitution. And you know something happened there at that time that has never happened in history. To the extent it happened there, four justices voted against it. Okay? But if you'll read, especially two of them, they used descriptions and wording against those five justices that voted for that, that was unprecedented in history. It was. That's how strongly they were against that. Because they could see what happened, what we've seen happen in Grayson, Kentucky, was a result of what happened. And you know what it's all about? It's all about bringing us into bondage to their righteousness. That's what it's all about. An occasion to the flesh is against the law of liberty. It is against the law of liberty. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. He said, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If we're led of the Spirit, and we have the Spirit, then we're no longer under the law. That means we've been saved by the grace of God. Then he goes ahead and says, now the works of the flesh are manifest with which are these. Here's an occasion to the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you give occasion to the flesh, then you're guilty of some of this. You're guilty of it. He tells us that the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If the Lord dwells in you, friends, you've got liberty in the Lord. But there's a lot of people today who say they have liberty and they do these things. And they're in bondage to these sins. They're in bondage to these sins. Let's just be honest about it. Today, there's Baptists today that are in bondage to these. I don't have to go beyond Baptists. There are some types of Baptists that are pretty free in their living. Yes, sir. They're pretty free in their living. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, he said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, and where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Then he came down to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. He said, what shall we say to this? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer to that question with a lot of people today is yes. Yes. Go ahead, sin, because we're in grace. It's not what the Bible teaches. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We've been made free from the bondage of sin. Why would we want to return to it? Our nation today is supposed to be a nation of liberty. And I've got some mixed emotions about this, so if you don't agree with me, we're not going to fall out over it at all. I've got some mixed feelings about all of this. It's supposed to be a nation of liberty, and I love it. I love America. I don't know of any place else I'd rather live than in America. And in America, I don't know of any place I'd rather live than that little holler where the sun has trouble getting into of a morning. I like it there. And I'm glad God put me there. And I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful, friends, for the freedom that I still have to stand here at this pulpit and my own pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And do it freely. I'm thankful for that. I am. But I wonder how long it's going to last. I wonder how long it's going to last. Our nation is supposed to be a nation of liberty, but our nation is in bondage to sin. It is in bondage to sin. Sin is calling the shots in our nation. Sin is. Our nation is using liberty as an occasion to the flesh. I live in a free country. I live in a country of liberty, so I can get drunk if I want to. Fine, you get drunk if you want to, but you're going to answer to God for it. I can marry same sex if I want to. It doesn't matter. You go right ahead, but you're going to answer to God for it. You see what I'm saying? We've actually made our liberty an occasion to the flesh. The laws this so-called free nation right now is making today is actually outlawing the things of God. I don't agree with everything that Kim Davis had to say in Kentucky, but I'll tell you one thing, she should never have been put in prison for what she done. Never should have been. And then I heard the Kelly Files the other day, I heard her interviewing her and watched it for about 10 minutes. And that Kelly asked about her background. All her background, marriages and all that stuff. And the woman said she'd been saved by the grace of God. And then the next question was, do you still sin? Do you still sin? I thought that was an awful question coming from a woman who probably goes to the priest on a regular basis to get forgiveness of sin. You know. Our nation is using liberty as an occasion of the flesh. We're trying to legitimize everything that God has said is sin. You look back on these things that I read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. Now, whether you agree or not, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that our nation, in its founding, and our Constitution was based upon some of these things that God says are unlawful. They're sin. There was a time when adultery, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, a lot of these things that we read down through here was against law. And there's still laws on the books today, friends. They've been ignored. They've been overridden against sodomy. Why do you think that John Adams said, and you've all read this, I'm not telling you anything new today that you don't already know about anything. Why do you think that John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people? It is wholly inadequate as a government for any other. And that's being proved today. It is wholly inadequate for a government. Why do you reckon he said that? Because he knew that the Constitution of the United States was based upon the Word of God. Where do you reckon they got their idea of liberty? Where do you think they come up with it? Why do you think in the past that dictatorships like Russia and Cuba and a lot of those places for years burnt Bibles and destroyed them? Because they was afraid of the liberty that was taught in the Word of God. True liberty has been able to do what is right in Christ Jesus. It's been able to do what is right. Doing that which is righteousness. Doing that which is right. Doing that which God says is right. Because God is the ultimate authority. Be doers of the Word. James 1:25, one more time. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the law, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We have in our nation what is called a right of free speech. You don't have as much as you used to have it. It's already been infringed on. In case any of you missed that, it has been infringed on. All these politically correct things, that's infringement on your speech.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But you know what? Long ere before our forefathers ever conceived of a nation of liberty, long before that, I could even go back to Adam and Eve, God had given His people the right of free speech. God has given me the right of free speech, and He's given you the right of free speech. And God's authority supersedes anything that America has given me. It does. Over in the book of Acts, you all know this, so I'm not spending a lot of time with each one of these things. I had scriptures, but, you know, I have a real regard for hungry Baptists. So in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28 through 29, you can go back to chapter 4 of Acts when they had imprisoned Peter and some of the other apostles because they were preaching Christ. I mean, as far as the Jews were concerned, they were turning the world upside down. And so they imprisoned them. Then they brought them out and they told them, they commanded them. And you know, they wouldn't even say Jesus' name. They commanded them, don't you preach in this name anymore. Well, they went ahead preaching. They went ahead preaching. So they got caught up again. And I want to read this. You can read it with me. Acts chapter 5, verse 28 through 29. Saying, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in His name? I believe this is a Sanhedrin. Myself, that's what I personally believe. And their law was that these people were not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. That was their law. That was what you might say is the law of the land. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine after we told you not to do it anymore. Ye went out and done it. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, now, it's just a simple statement, friends. We ought to obey God rather than men. Why? Because God is the supreme authority. I preached on the leper Wednesday night up at Glade Creek. And you know that leper in Matthew chapter 8 come to the Lord because he recognized he was the supreme authority. He called him Lord. So he recognized that. We have to recognize today, and everybody else needs to recognize, that God is the supreme authority. And they told these men this time, they didn't just turn them loose. They laid the stripes upon them and then they commanded them, don't do this anymore. And they turned them loose. And in verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why? Because we need to obey God rather than men. That's just a simple truth, isn't it? But it's going to be harder as time goes by. I haven't really had a lot of opposition to preaching the truth. I've had a little different times, but not a lot. Don't be surprised, friends, when it comes here. Them little churches I pastor are sort of hid in the hills over there. I tell my people, don't be surprised when they come here. When they come here. And you know what our answer has to be? It has to be, we ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God. I want to read this to you in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, scripture you all know. Especially the last part of it is used very often. Last part of it said, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I want to read you verse 4. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What do you reckon he's saying there? According to my earnest expectation. Do you think he's talking about his earnest expectation to be released from prison? Or his earnest expectation that the thorn be removed from his flesh? No, friends. He's talking about his earnest expectation that the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to be preached, and that he would never do anything or preach anything other than that he'd be ashamed of. Now what he goes ahead and says, that with all boldness, I got a man at Unity Baptist Church, when he prays for boldness. Good thing to pray for. We need boldness today. Boldness. He prays for boldness. Paul said that with all boldness, as always. Paul was always bold. All the time after God called him, saved him, and put him into ministry, he was always bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was all boldness, as always. So now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. How? By the preaching of the Word of God. By the preaching of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life. I think what Paul's saying here is that he might be magnified in my body, whether it be by life in preaching the precious Gospel of Jesus Christ, or whether it be by death in preaching the precious Gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm going to preach it. Do you know why? Paul had liberty.
Yeah.
We got liberty today, friends. Don't let anybody tell you different. They may come up to Unity Baptist Church sometime when I'm preaching, and they may tear down my pulpit, and it's not my pulpit, church's pulpit. They may burn down the building, you know, we never know what's going to happen. They may lay the stripes upon us, they may throw us in prison. They may take away my physical liberty till I cannot move about as I want to move about. But there's a liberty they can never take from me. And that's a liberty that I have in Christ Jesus. They can't take that away. That old Paul in prison and in bonds, in chains, and he still had that liberty. Couldn't take it away from him. But they can't take away our liberty in Christ Jesus. They may take away our life, but they can't take away the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus to do that which is right. Preach that is right. Our nation has forgotten that there is a higher authority. I got so sick. I usually check in with the news of the morning, sometimes at noon, sometimes in the evening. I just want to see what the headlines are. The last few days turned to dawn, and there was that false prophet from Rome. Now, he may not be the true false prophet in Revelations, but rather he's a forerunner of him.
Amen.
He is. And I mean, they were drooling over him. Foxwell, I just turned it off. Made me sick. But before he got here, when the Supreme Court rolled, they got on there and they said, well, whether you agree with it or not, it's law because the Supreme Court said it was law. Do you hear people today saying that the Supreme Court acted unlawfully? They've got a right to, because they did act unlawfully. They did. They did. They superseded, went far beyond their authority or responsibility. Either one. But you know what they're doing? They're throwing a punch at God. That's what they were doing. But they said, we have to do it because the Supreme Court said. You got to issue these licenses because the Supreme Court said. Have an abortion. The Supreme Court said it's all right. You know. They've forgotten that there is a higher authority than the Supreme Court of the United States. Congress used to be a higher authority than the Supreme Court of the United States, but they've conceded that. They have. We don't have a Congress anymore. We've got a few good people in there trying to do something that all the jokers are keeping them from doing. You may say that's an awful thing to say, but I'm getting tired of it. I really am. I prayed for them, and I'll still pray for them, but that doesn't keep me from calling a bunch of them jokers. Our nation has forgotten there's a higher authority in the Supreme Court or the Congress or the President of the United States with all of his executive orders. And there was a time when this nation realized that, and that is what made this nation great. That is what made this nation respected by not so many nations in the world. And the ones that didn't respect her, feared her because of it. It's not that way anymore. Now, what are we supposed to do? We are to stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That doesn't mean when the Supreme Court made that infamous decision concerning same-sex marriage that I run down there to the Supreme Court judges and get in their face and tell them how wrong they was, or that I'm going to get down there and demonstrate and everything else, you know. It doesn't mean that I can do that. That doesn't mean that. If somebody wants to get down there and demonstrate, go ahead. But what this means to me, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, it doesn't necessarily mean we go down and challenge every unrighteous law, but it does mean that in our everyday course of life, that we stay the course. They're going to find you in due time. You're not going to have to go challenge them. They'll be there to challenge you. I don't think Paul went looking for trouble. I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ went looking for trouble. Trouble found them. You see, we are required to stay the course, to live for the Lord, to keep His Word and walk therein. And if somebody comes and tell us we cannot do that, we just simply have to say we should obey God. We should obey God. We're never, ever. I told a brother there the other day, I was talking to, yeah, probably about four more minutes, Brother Kenny. I told a brother the other day that I was talking to, was about talking about a little problem we'd having with another individual in the church, and when I said, you know, I can compromise. I made so many mistakes in my ministry. I made so many mistakes. Anybody here, pastor, has never made a mistake. I made so many mistakes in my ministry. I said, I can compromise personal things. I can compromise some of those. But I said, I cannot compromise the Word of God. We don't have liberty to do that. We do not have liberty to compromise the Word of God. We've got liberty to be doers of the Word of God. Not to compromise it. They say you can't preach in His name anymore. Say, well, I've got a higher authority I've got to answer to than you. That means that we are not to be brought into bondage by any set of laws that are against the perfect law of liberty. Where do they be, governmental laws? Or where do they be, religious laws? Either one. We're not to be brought into bondage into any other laws. We have liberty to do the Word of God. So that's the reason James said, let us be doers of the Word. Let's just do it. Go about our business. Let God take care of what's out there and what's coming. Let Him take care of it. May God's richest blessings rest upon each one of you. Appreciate your time and your patience with me. I don't know if Brother Kenneth gets to talking too long, tell him you're going to go to dinner anyway. You know. I have a lot of fun with you, brother.
Yes, you do. Appreciate that message, brother. Thank you very much. Appreciate all the messages. I really appreciate the good spirit that you have. We always seem to have a good spirit here.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for it. We give Him the glory for it. Work of the Lord. Okay, is the food ready? Anybody knows the food ready?
I think we're getting it ready, brother. I'm not sure.
You're getting it? Could you send somebody to go find out if the food's ready? Could you just go ahead and dismiss?
Someone's saying it's done. He's ready.
We're going to go ask.
Brother Kenny, 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
5 minutes? All right. We've got 5 minutes. All right. But Nathan, would you come and present your cool ministries, please? The work that's being done there. Yeah. Get 5 minutes and we get to eat.
Cool Ministries stands for Children of Our Lord Ministries, and I feel called to be a missionary to orphans, to the fatherless, and we are reaching orphans in our own community and here in the United States and also worldwide. We hope the Lord will allow us to reach out and to grow, to reach children, the most vulnerable of our society, with the gospel. The greatest need that they have is the gospel. We are advocating for two children. If you look at our board back there, there's two children in their picture back there. They've reached out to us asking us to help them find a forever family. And so we are praying for them and just spreading the word about them. They're in Ukraine. And so if you know of anybody that's interested in adopting, there are two children. They're 16 and 13 years old, a brother and sister, that are looking for a home. And what greater way to share the gospel with someone than to bring them into your home and teach them and show them by everyday activity the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're praying for us. This past year has been a very busy year. I moved up to Cleveland, Ohio. I was pastoring in London, Corbin, Kentucky, and felt the Lord call me to the mission field, and resigned as pastor there and united with New Testament Baptist Church. We were going out of that church as missionaries out of that church. So we moved up there. In the past year, I've moved three times and had three different jobs. So we've been very busy trying to get settled in Ohio up by the Cleveland area to begin this work. So we covet your prayers. There's a lot of obstacles and hindrances to reaching children in our communities and in our society. I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with what just happened here in Bowling Green. I go into detention centers. I teach children in detention centers and have the opportunity to go share the gospel with them. I'm hindered. I can say whatever I need to these children in the detention center. I'm very thankful for that opportunity. We've seen children profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen them go out and get baptized. They're children. I can't control where they get baptized. I try to encourage them to come to our church and get baptized. But their parents end up taking them to closer churches. And so we've had one boy that confessed to be saved. His mom took him to a local Baptist church in their town. I traveled to Painesville. I've tried to get in other detention centers in our area. And just praying the Lord to open up doors for us to do that. But here in Bowling Green, they had a church that had been going there for almost 13 years. Went in there just recently. And they said, you're no longer allowed to come into the detention center unless you sign this agreement form that you will not refer to homosexuality as sin, wrong. They had a whole list of things that they had to agree to that they would not say in that detention center. We haven't encountered that in where we're going, but I'm sure that we'll see more and more of that in our society as it goes. So we want to use the liberty that we have right now to teach the gospel and to preach. It's encouraging to me to see Brother Isaac Kyle here, to see the other board up there about the European Literature Fund, to see our churches involved in carrying out the Great Commission. And that's encouraging to see that. And I just want to thank you and appreciate your prayers. If you'd like to know more, I'll share a lot more with you of what we're doing later.
I want to make sure what that meant. You know. Let us stand, please. I want to ask Brother Darrell to close the service with prayer and thank the Lord for the food.
Father, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, for what we have heard. Father, I pray that you honor and glorify, pray you speak to hearts, Lord, if any lost. You open their eyes, Lord, to their sin. Father, we thank you for this time we've had. Lord, bless our fellowship together today. Lord, we thank you for this food we're about to receive. Pray you would bless it. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We need all the speakers and preachers to come up here and pulpit. Quickly. We want to eat. Should not listen to me. Yeah. We all preachers come up to the pulpit, please, before preaching.
Golly, I really appreciate this message. I don't know what you plan to preach, but that bless my heart.
Someone wants to break their camera, so what they want to
break the camera.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. What do you suggest I do? I say something funny. G, brother.
That's cool, man.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Mayo. Thank you. It's a good message.
Yeah. 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 Yeah
Thank you. Thank you.